Some call you Mama. Some call you Mommy. Some call you the most smartest. Some call you so funny. Some call you homework helper. Some call you higher, higher. Some call you their hero. And also their taxi driver. Some call you Nana or Abuela or Meemaw. Some call you Mother. Please stop spoiling them all. Some call you a mentor. Some call you a friend. Some call you God's kindness for the mother they never had. Some call you from the beginning. Some call you much later. Some call you guardian or foster parent on paper. But paper never stopped you from showing up open-handed. You were no less the mother and the love God intended. Some call you joy, some call you graceful, some call you strength, some call you faithful, some call you constant, some call you care, some call you always, some call you there. Some call you the greatest, some call you the bomb. But I call you blessed. I call you Mom.
Well, many of us have been blessed by someone that we call Mom. I suspect as you're watching that you were picturing somebody in your mind and your heart. I think that's a beautiful video that captures the spectrum of influence that mothers have in our lives. Because there's nothing quite like a mother's love. And so today we want to honor the mothers, the grandmothers, the aunts, the spiritual mothers, and the mothers-to-be in the audience. Happy Mother's Day. Now, I've also preached enough Mother's Day sermons to know the holiday is complicated. It's a special day. It's also a painful day for some. For those in the audience who have lost their mother, for those who never knew their mother, for those who maybe felt abandoned by their mother, for those who had a complicated relationship with their mother, for those who desire to be a mother but for whatever reason have not, we want you to know today that we see you, but more importantly, our God sees you just as he saw Hagar in the wilderness, and he loves you, and he is pursuing you. Now, if you're new with us, we've been preaching through the Gospel of Luke. However, in the original outline, as we were crafting this sermon series, today's passage was going to be Luke 16, which focuses on the rich man and Lazarus. And if you're not aware, that's a parable about hell. So we prayed and decided that might not be the best passage for Mother's Day. But that'll be my next task in 2 weeks for Memorial Day, so come back for that. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to press pause and kind of zoom out on Luke's gospel as a whole, because you may remember one of the main themes in Luke's gospel is his elevation of women in the narrative. And so therefore, today I've entitled the message, The Women of Luke's Gospel. And what we're going to do is look at a variety of passages, which will offer some lessons and some challenges. So in honor of Mother's Day, I decided to set a calendar reminder to pick up a card, and hopefully you did as well. In fact, I have several cards for the mothers in my life. I'll come back to the card at the end of the message, but I want you to keep that card image in your mind as we walk through the passages today. And I want you to ask yourself, what will or what did you write in the card to your mom? What did she teach you? What impact did she make? And if you are a mom, you have a question too. When you receive your card today, what are you hoping to read in that card? What message would you like to receive? Because Mother's Day often is a time to reflect on the impact we've made in the lives of others. Now, before we dive into the passage today, let's take a little bit of time to talk about the history of Mother's Day. If you're not aware, the holiday has not been around since the beginning of time, contrary to popular belief. But the concept of honoring mothers can be traced all the way back to the Greco-Roman culture, where there were festivals that were held in honor of the mother goddesses. Now, what happened was the early Christians took this pagan celebration, as they did with a lot of others, and they created a Christian festival known as Mothering Sunday, which actually became part of the church calendar at the beginning. So Christians invented Mother's Day. Now, if you get to the United States, a woman named Julia Ward Howe, who was an early abolitionist during the Civil War, advocated for a Mother's Peace Day as early as 1873. She's also the one who famously wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. But it was Ann Reeves Jarvis, the founder of the Mother's Day Work Clubs, who was responsible for creating the National Mother's Day in 1908, and it became an official U.S. holiday in 1914, just in time for World War I. But I got to tell you, she actually hated the commercialization of Mother's Day, and she would be appalled at all the flowers, at all the cards, at all the chocolates you're going to receive later today. But by the way, men, that's not a reason not to get a card. You need to get a card and a flower. But she didn't like the commercialization. Now, my point is this. Throughout history, people have recognized the significance, the impact, and the indispensability of mothers. And the reason we purchase Mother's Day cards is to show moms how important they are in our lives. It's the record of a good work, of love, of sacrifice, because moms love their kids. Most moms would do anything for their kids. It's instinctual. And you know who gets that? Mama bears. It's just science. It's in nature. Anybody out there a mama bear? What is one thing you don't do? You don't mess with a mama bear and her children. Because what will a mama bear do then? She will go to great lengths to defend her cubs. And that's not so different than what is going on with humans. I mean, in our current cultural moment, there's been a rise of mama bears with all the tensions that are going on. And I would suggest that mothers, and fathers to an extent, are hanging around their kids longer because they recognize the dangers of the world. The internet, the social media, the narratives about sexuality alone are enough for a mama bear to rise up on her hind legs and roar, "Don't mess with my kids." Now, here's the tension. It's not easy being a mom. It's just not, right? In today's world, you feel you need to be hyper-vigilant. You got to watch every show. You got to have conversations you don't want to have earlier about complicated issues. Social media is telling you got to be the perfect parent because apparently everybody else has it figured out but you, right? It's exhausting. And so, church, let me just say that's why you need to get your mom a card or get a mother a card. Many moms feel overlooked and overworked and undervalued. They work hard and nobody recognizes it. In fact, it's just assumed. It's just assumed that mom will take care of it, right? Don't take your mom for granted. Let her know in a card. Now, I will just say, moms, I am amazed at what you do. My wife, Amanda, is amazing. She is the mother of our three kids. She will go to amazing and unbelievable lengths to sacrifice sleep and advocate for and love our kids. And my mother-in-law, Lana, you can see him all up in the picture here today, sacrifices a lot to help raise our kids in our crazy life. It's not easy. My mom, Marilyn, raised my sister and I as a single mom when my father passed away. I can't imagine how scary that was to lose your partner when your kids are young. And the overwhelming nature of life and responsibility, all of you have gone above and beyond to love your kids. And so to you and to many other mama bears out there, you need to get a card because it's not easy being a mom today. In her recent book, Honest Prayers for Mama Bears, Hillary Morgan Frere offers this prayer of encouragement. She writes this, "Dear Lord, I am not sure I'm prepared to parent children in today's world. Sometimes just keeping my kids alive feels like an insurmountable hurdle. As a parent, show me how to raise my children to see the image of God in all people. First, let the Holy Spirit work through me to demonstrate your perfect grace and mercy in the way I treat everyone so that my children see what it looks like to love others well. Help me remember that you have appointed them to be born in such a time as this, and that you have prepared good works for them to do. In an era of dragons, you are raising dragon slayers, which is an honest prayer. But I want you to notice that somebody has to raise up those kids. And it's scary. But that's where Luke's gospel comes in, because in Luke's gospel, there's so many women of faith that teach us how to live for and trust God. I'll just give you a couple examples. Mary and Elizabeth in Luke 1 and 2. You got Anna in Luke 2. You have Mary and Martha. You have the faith of many widows throughout the gospel. You have the women at the tomb, just to name a few. Now, in the ancient world, all of those women would have been discounted and overlooked, but it's Jesus who raises them up to change the world. And so Mother's Day is a day to celebrate women who are changing the world in their ordinary spheres of influence, world changers. Do you want to be a world changer today? How do you do that? Well, that's what we're going to learn from the women of Luke's gospel. What do we learn? Well, for non-mothers, there's three lessons, and for mothers, there's three challenges. And I'll voice them this way. These women show us how to be courageously faithful, how to give sacrificially, and number three, how to focus on future glory. And if you learn those lessons, you will change the world, and at the end of the day, your children will say, "Thank you, Mom." So let's pray and prepare our hearts to learn from the women of Luke today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person who's here today. Lord, I thank you especially for mothers, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would minister to the hearts of all who are here today. No matter where they are on the spectrum of their relationship with their mom, Lord, I pray that we all would know that you love us, that you see us where we are. Challenge us today, Lord, to learn from your word. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So first, the women of Luke's gospel teach us how to be courageously faithful. Now, I must say, this is an indispensable, invaluable character trait in the 21st century. Luke's gospel begins with women, and their contributions explode off the pages in Luke 1 and 2. Mary, Jesus' mother, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, and the wise prophetess Anna are all featured in these first two chapters, and they call us to courage. Now, since I'm making a bold claim, it's worth asking, what exactly is courage? Let's define our terms. Courage is the quality that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, without fear, to have bravery. All of us need courage today. But courage is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing choice. We must be faithful with our courage. Now, what does it mean to be faithful? It means to be steadfast in affection and our allegiance. To be steadfast in our affection and our allegiance. Faithful. The three women in Luke 1 and 2 display courageous faith. And by doing so, they're used by God to turn the world upside down. So let's look at each one in our first section here. First, there's Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we read, beginning in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, that the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she would give birth to God's Son, the Savior of the world, Jesus himself. Now, when Gabriel first appeared, we're told in verse 29 that Mary was greatly troubled. In other words, she was afraid. And she was being asked to step out in faith and trust God with what came next. Now, the angel reassures her in verse 30. "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, that is a calling. How would you respond if Gabriel showed up at your house tonight and gave you a word like this? Now, Mary has a choice. She can run away, or she will courageously accept this unbelievable call. After a discussion, Mary responds with courageous faith. Skip down to verse 37. The angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary models courageous faith by believing and accepting God's word, even when it's hard. And because she stepped out in faith, the Savior of the world came through this line. Mary had courage. Mary was faithful to God. Because of that, God was faithful to her. In fact, later, after Jesus is born, the shepherds appear to Mary, and they give her a message. This Jesus will bring peace to the earth. And what is Mary's reaction? Chapter 2, verse 19 says this, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." She treasured these words. Why? Because it was a reminder of God's faithfulness, and perhaps it was evidence that her bold acceptance paid off. She remembered the faithfulness of God. So the question for us is, where is God calling you to be courageously faithful like Mary? Now, after the angel appears, Mary cannot keep this news to herself. She runs over to her cousin's house, Elizabeth, and tells her that she's pregnant. Yay! So we meet our second character, Elizabeth. And as we'll see, she also was courageously faithful. She encourages Mary in chapter 1, verse 42. We read that Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Amen. Now, when Mary showed up at Elizabeth's house, what do you think she said? "I'm scared. I'm going to have a baby, and he's going to be a big deal." And she shared her heart with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth speaks truth to her. She says, "You're blessed, and guess what? I'm also pregnant." Did Mary and Elizabeth know the world-altering, history-changing people they were carrying? Probably not. They needed faith. And verse 45 tells us they believed that God spoke. In courageous faith, they answered the call to raise up these two boys. So Mary and Elizabeth, even though Elizabeth's a bit older, play, let's say, the young mom role in the story. They're about to have screaming babies in their home and experience physical sacrifice. And then in chapter 2 of Luke, the story shifts to a different generation. Chapter 2 shows us the faith of a grandmother, Anna. Because when Jesus gets older, Joseph and Mary bring him to the temple to be dedicated, and we meet Simeon and Anna, the elder statespeople of the temple, and they've been waiting for decades for the Messiah to come. That they could have given up, but instead, they were courageously faithful. They were patient. And in our world of 24-hour news cycles and instant gratification, they show us we need courage to be patient. Listen to how Anna is described, verse 37 of chapter 2. "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak to him of all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." Now, this is one of my favorite passages in Luke, because here we have Anna, this grandmother, faithfully and patiently waiting on God to bring redemption. Now, if you do the math, she's likely about 100 years old, and here's why Anna is important. She would have been the one passing down the story of God's redemption from generation to generation. She would have lived out the Shema of Deuteronomy 6. She would have told how God saved his people through the parting of the Red Sea. She would have told how God preserved the people through persecution and hardship. You know, Pastor Dave and I are friends with the rabbis across the street at the Chabad Jewish Center. Some of you parked over there this morning, perhaps, or you can park over there. But a number of times I've been inside that sanctuary, and it's really cool because they have wonderful artwork in there, and they actually have a whole lining the sanctuary, a whole timeline recording the history of the Jewish people. Stories about how their people have been preserved and survived and prevailed. It's a wonderful, you know, illustration and picture of preservation and faithfulness and perseverance. But my point is this, if you're a grandmother, God is calling you to faithfully tell the story. If God has granted you long life, you have had the opportunity to impact multiple generations of your family. And you never know how he's using you, how he is blessing the world through your courage and your faithfulness. Because when Anna sees Jesus, she stays in that temple and she worships and she fasts and she prays. She puts her faith in God for all he has done. Redemption has come. People are talking about her faith even today. Each of these women shows us what it means to be courageously faithful. And because they were, the gospel exploded in history. Now, before we move on, I want to show you how this changed the world. Historian Rodney Stark wrote a wonderfully famous book entitled The Rise of Christianity, writing it before he was even a Christian. But in chapter 6 of this book, tells all about how women were the catalyst, part of the catalyst, for the gospel spreading in the ancient world, laying the foundation for today. Why was that? Well, he gives a couple reasons. Number one, in a pagan culture that devalued women and considered them property, it was the Christians who reversed that mindset. Number two, in a pagan culture rampant with abortion and infanticide, it was the Christians who kept and raised their children, and mothers led the charge for that, building families, seeing families of Christians come about. And then thirdly, when women were converted to Christianity in the ancient world, they were often passionate about their faith, so passionate and articulate that their husbands then were also converted. So ladies, do not forsake your influence and calling. You can help Christianity rise even today. Every generation can show us how to be courageously faithful. So if you're a young mom, perhaps that looks like gathering another like-minded group of young moms and brainstorming how to raise your kids to love Jesus. It's through your relationships and your tenacity and your advocacy that you can bless others. If you're a midlife mom, in the middle years, as your kids grow, your work is not done. You still have a chance to influence your children as they grow into the adult years. Keep being faithful. And maybe that means you got to meet with others in your age group or younger and tell your journey and what you've learned. And then if you're a grandmother, as long as you are here, God is going to use you. Amen? Your courageous faith will be spoken of for generations to come. So take opportunities to read the Bible with your grandkids. And tell them how Jesus changed your life, but also tell them how God has been faithful for many, many years, how you've seen him work. Amen. Your faithfulness in everyday life, following Jesus, loving your kids and family, that makes you a world changer. Thank you for your courageous faith. And thank you more for your sacrificial giving. And that's point number two. Moms don't just model courageous faith, they also show us how to give sacrificially. So Mary, Elizabeth, and Anna, they're well-known characters in Luke's first two chapters. But as you read through Luke's gospel, there are so many other stories of women who step out in faith and are used by God. However, for this point, I want to jump ahead to a section we haven't covered yet, Luke chapter 21, the first part. When we get there, we're not going to have time to cover this passage in depth, so let me give it some attention today. This is the story of the widow's mite, which consists or contrast a section right before in chapter 20. Because there, Jesus is confronting, as he usually does, the scribes and their attention-seeking motivations. These scribes, these seemingly religious people, are a big show, Jesus says. And then he contrasts them with a poor woman who shows us how to give. We read this in Luke 21:1. It says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. So picture this scene right here. Jesus has a crowd around him. He's teaching them about the hypocrisy of the scribes. And he says, those are the people that walk around acting holy. They're so self-righteous, you got to beware of them. And as he's teaching, he looks up and he sees a perfect illustration right in front of him. A poor widow putting in what seems like a little bit of money, and he compares her to the rich counterparts. Now, widows in the ancient world, if you don't know, were very poor. You could identify them by their dress. So he looks up, and it's obvious her stature. And she gives these two small coins, perhaps equivalent to today, her putting in 2 pennies. And the reason for this specific gift doesn't really make a big difference, but Jesus is making this observation in verse 3. He says, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them," all the rich folks. Now, that would have been a pretty shocking statement. How could these 2 small coins possibly have been worth more than what the rich people put in? It would be like somebody tithing $20,000 a month compared to somebody putting in $2, less zeros behind the two. How could she possibly have put in more than them? Well, Jesus explains in verse 4. He says, "For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Wow. Now that's an important piece of the story, giving all she had to live on. Because these 2 pennies might not have been very much, but it was all she had. And the New Testament does this often with giving. It encourages people to give extravagantly and not settle for a small portion of their income. Even though the rich gave a lot more, it was a small percentage of their worth. And then to further drive the point home, because the widow gave all she had, now she has nothing left, and she would actually have a beggar's status. So what does the story teach us? Why does Jesus use this as an illustration? If you look back at verse 3, Jesus uses the phrase, "Truly I tell you," and I want you to circle that. Because every time Jesus uses that phrase in Luke, it introduces an example of discipleship. Luke 9:27, before Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him, he uses that phrase. Luke 12:44, Jesus uses those words to introduce a call to be ready for the master's return. And here, Jesus is saying that the widow, this poor widow, whom no one respects or pays attention to, her sacrificial giving shows what it means to be my disciple. The widow shows us how to give sacrificially. And sacrificial giving is part of discipleship. And that's where moms, I think, are instructive for us. Because so many mothers know how to give sacrificially for their kids and their family. In fact, almost every mother will tell you their work is never done. There's always a kid crying. As much as you don't want to worry about your kids when they get older, you do. As exhausted as you are and you want a nap, you still give. Mothers give sacrificially of their sleep, their money and convenience, their goals for themselves, their me time, all so others can be blessed. If you're a young mom here today, you may be walking especially through that season. Today, it may feel like nobody notices your sacrifice. And you need to hear this. Jesus took notice of this widow, and he commended her. And Jesus sees you, he loves you, he's walking with you. Thank you for your sacrifice. So the widow in Luke offers a lesson and a challenge. And I want to ask 2 questions. Number 1, why do we give sacrificially? Well, it doesn't exactly say why she gave all she had, but if she was an example of a disciple, her heart likely broke for something. Because a broken heart moves us to give. It's compassion. That's the motivation many people have in giving. There's a cause you want to support, like First Choice Women's Resource Center. There's someone in need you want to help. The reason a mother sacrifices is that her heart is broken for her children. You can't stand to hear your child cry. You want to make sure your children are cared for. You want them to thrive, and you'll do everything you can to help, even as they get older. Secondly, how does sacrificial giving grow us? Well, the reason God calls us to give sacrificially is that he wants us to learn dependence on him. God is our provider and sustainer. And to learn that, we have to exercise, many times, outsized faith in giving. Sometimes we're called to give when it doesn't make human sense. Sometimes we're called to give when it's uncomfortable and doesn't benefit us. Faith doesn't always align with human sensibilities. And this point I'm making is often a tension you find between moms and dads. Because let's say a need arises and dad often is the one who goes and checks the bank account and says, "We don't have enough money." And then mom makes her case for the need and says, "It doesn't matter, we have to help." So just to be honest, moms are often better at sensing the needs than others because they trust that God will provide. And so, Mom, I just want to say thank you for modeling sacrifice. Thank you for modeling an outsized faith in giving. And the only way you can sacrifice and have peace is by looking to the future. When life is hard and the world seems against you, the women of Luke and moms often show us how to focus on future glory. That's point number three. Because we know how the story ends. Jesus wins. And as hard as the season of life is that you're walking through, God is still good. And in the end, he will make all things right. So let's skip ahead to Luke chapter 24, where the gospel writer once again platforms women in the most unlikely way, at the tomb of Jesus. So notice this, the gospel opens with women hearing about Jesus' birth, and it closes with them witnessing his resurrection and his rebirth. So very cool. Now, why is this? Well, I think Jesus knew that the women would be amazing evangelists. And Luke includes this part of the story because he knew it would make it more believable. Because it would make no sense to include women in the resurrection narrative because women were not considered credible sources in that day. It would make no sense to use them unless it was true. So at the end of Luke 23, these women follow Jesus to his burial, but then at the beginning of Luke 24, just a few days later, everything changes. We read this. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And listen to this. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Amen. Amen. So here's the scene. We have some unexpected witnesses, the women. They're coming to tend to Jesus' body, a burial custom. But as they approach, they see the stone is rolled away and the body is gone. And then, just like back in Luke 1 with Mary, an angel appears. Like Mary in Luke 1, the women are also scared. And like Gabriel, these angels deliver a life-altering, world-changing message to the women. He is not here. He is risen. Death has been defeated. The kingdom is here. And then they recall all the hints that Luke has dropped in the course of the narrative. The Son of Man was crucified, and he's going to rise. How many times did Jesus allude to that? But I want you to focus on verse 8. What do you notice? Just like Mary treasured the words of the angel in Luke 1, here the women remembered the words of the angels. At Jesus' birth and his resurrection, the good news of the gospel, the message for the angels that has changed the lives of so many, it comes to these women first. Why? Well, look at what it says next. It says, they returned and told everyone. Maybe God knew that these women would be the best storytellers. Now, why is that significant? Because they carried the message about God's faithfulness in redemption to their generation and beyond. And what did that require? It required them to be courageously faithful. It required them to be sacrificially giving. It required them to know that the story ends with future glory. Those women knew it. So many moms know it. And if you're a mom that knows that, you're a world changer. Amen. So it's time to come back to that Mother's Day card that I mentioned at the beginning. And I'm guessing most of you have a card for some special mom in your life, maybe your mom or somebody else that you know who's a mom. And if you don't have a card, Walgreens is down the street. I think they're open till 10, so you can go pick one up. But in the beginning, I asked two questions aimed at two different groups. If you're giving a card to a mother figure in your life, what did you or what will you write in that card? Luke makes women an integral part of the gospel narrative, and I think he does that on purpose because they were overlooked outcasts in the ancient world. And so if you're giving a card today, it's an opportunity for you to let the moms in your life know, we see you, we commend you for your faithful courage, your generous sacrifice, your contagious hope. What's in your card? How many of you would thank your mom for telling you about Jesus when you were young? How many of you would thank your mom for taking you to church so you could learn about Jesus? How many of you remember the stories your mom told you, or the sacrifices she made to raise you, or the resilience she modeled when times were tough? That mom, like the women of Luke, is a world changer for Jesus. Now, she's probably not some charismatic, world-famous leader, but most moms are ordinary, faithful women who love Jesus and who love people. And you know what? Those are the kinds of people who change the world day after day after day. Faithful and generous and hopeful. Amen. Now let me speak to the moms for a moment because you also had a question. What would you want to read when you receive a card? You work so hard and sometimes you think nobody notices. What do you want to read in your card? No matter what you read in the card, know this. Jesus sees you. Jesus commends you. Jesus died for you. And he wants you to follow him. And I want you also to think about those women in Luke today. Were you challenged by anything they did? Does the Holy Spirit need to build more courageous faith in your life? Do you need to grow in sacrificial giving? Have you lost sight of the future glory that's guaranteed to all believers in Christ? My encouragement today is to press into those lessons. And by doing so, you will be a blessing to your children and your grandchildren and to the whole world. You are called to be an ordinary, faithful world changer for Jesus in your sphere of influence. Don't overlook that. No matter how hard it gets, don't be afraid. Mary and the women at the tomb remembered the words of the angel that he is risen. Women were those first messengers. And maybe nobody believed them, but God chose to use them. He put those women at ground zero of the event that changed the world. And like Esther, maybe God is calling you today for such a time as this. Because we need women, we need moms who are apologists for the gospel to raise up the next generation of Christ followers. We need moms who are Instagram influencers for Jesus so the message of the empty tomb can ring out across the internet. We need moms who take seriously the last words that Luke wrote in Acts 28, where he said we got to proclaim the kingdom of God and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. With all boldness and without hindrance. Or put another way, we need unhindered moms who raise unhindered kids for Christ. So thank you, moms, for showing us what truly matters. Thank you for pointing us to the hope that only comes through Jesus Christ. And thank you for proclaiming and living the kingdom unhindered. So as the worship team comes back on stage, I want you to keep thinking about that card. Because I pray the words that we offer and the words we read tell the story of a life marked by Jesus. Nothing else matters. You know, you can go through life and you can be really funny. You can be really successful in your career. You can receive a bunch of awards, but at the end of the day, when we meet Jesus, the only thing that will matter is if we build his kingdom. The only thing that will matter is the legacy we built in this life for Christ. And sometimes the greatest legacy we can leave are the people we leave behind. So to the moms and the dads and everybody else listening, may we continue to impact everyone we can for Jesus. May you live for Jesus. We're going to close with one more song, and it's called The Blessing. And I think it's appropriate for today because it reminds us of the love God has for us from God. And it also reminds us of the opportunity we have to bless others for what God has done for us. Let's be ordinary, faithful world changers for Jesus. And receive this blessing. The song goes like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today, Lord. I thank you for all the faithful moms who are out there, Lord. I just pray that you would bless them today, Lord. I pray that you would continue to use them, that they continue to place their faith and trust in you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you are their ultimate hope, that when they feel exhausted and expended, Lord God, that you are the one who sustains them. For those out there who don't know their moms, who struggle with Mother's Day, Lord, I just pray that you would bless them today, Lord, that you would help them to know that you see them, that you love them, that you care for them, that they can be people who are world changers as well, Lord God, as we continue to model this courageous faith and this generous giving, and as we always look forward with hope to the future. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for what Luke has been showing us, Lord. And today, may we receive your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.